Welcome to the David Bowie's Ghost podcast. My name is Jen.
And I'm Daniel. And on this podcast, we explore the mystical realms of channeling through Jen and I's experiences communing with the other side.
As well as our shared love of music, art, and the sacred connection between creativity and healing.
If you like what you hear, please join our community on Patreon to gain access to the various offerings we are guided to share.
We invite you to be our companions on this ride as we embrace our own strange design.
Hi, Jen.
Hi, Daniel.
So we're laughing right off the bat because the truth is that Jen and I had recorded a little bit of something and we both got triggered, and it led to some feelings of lack of safety and some argument and some general feelings that didn't feel totally of the light and supportive. So we stopped, had a pretty deep convo, and then restarted. So in all honesty and openness, this is not the first time we're greeting each other for today.
No, it's not.
And it's certainly providing an invitation for us to share a little bit about what has been coming up, which is really, I think you'd agree, Jenna, a theme, you know, since the first time we met. And, you know, I'll say from the first time we met, you know, I recognized Jen was having her own awakening experience, her own connection to spirituality and the spiritual realm and what was important to her. And in the beginning, I, you know, very clearly felt it was my role to be a container for that and to support her mission, and that it was in line with my own too. And then, you know, our relationship, our journey continued to grow and intertwine in different ways. There was more shared things, more shared collaboration, more shared ideas, you know, more sort of blending and merging of like our own visions. They were not totally separate. And then as we've been on this podcast together, you know, as collaborators, as co-creators, we've navigated at times different. We have different, like we were saying, outside of the recording, different brands of spirituality. And I think if we were not putting out this project, this podcast together, it could be easier to, you know, just allow the other person to have their brand. And, it, you know, having a recording together and putting it out, I think it, at least for, I'll speak for myself, it has added a little bit of tension or pressure at times to make sure we're both being heard and both having our brands of spirituality reflected, because if it starts to look like one message, then it can be triggering for each of us, because we are unique individuals with different brands of spirituality. And for me, a lot of the beauty of this in my relationship to Jen and us growing together in this way is that it models for people the freedom to have these conversations, to have these, you know, I mean, forget spirituality. People can't talk about anything, politics, whatever. It's so triggering. We disagree so heavily. And for me, and I know for Jen too, that we really honor the safety and the freedom of this space. And I think we're just navigating how that looks, because one of us may say something that we may feel is obvious and that the other person would surely agree with, and that like we should both be agreeing, and yet we don't. So, and it's not even necessarily about the content, and maybe we'll talk about that too, but it can just be about nuance or the way we say things or whatever. So that's how we're starting out today, is that yes. Jen and I have been growing through each of our brands of spirituality while also doing our best to honor the other in this co-creation.
First of all, I'm glad we're trying this again, because I was a little upset and I was ready to just be like, I don't want to do this, because sometimes things get hard, right? Conversations can be difficult. And I think what I've learned just from how we are speaking to each other is so much of what we're going through is about acceptance and accepting that not everyone is going to feel the same way and being open to hearing the other person out and learning about their journey and being curious about it and excited, you know, for them that they're going through one thing. And yes, we might not agree with it. We might not agree with it, but you know, it's important, yes, that we know who we are, but we also, you know, should be, sorry, I keep saying should, but I mean, flexible, right? We should be able to hear other people's differences and different point of views and different ways of feeling, because we all feel different things, and spirituality is one of them. You know, I'm accepting of every type of spirituality, and I think that was the lesson we were supposed to learn from our first try of recording today.
Yeah, I think it's clear that, at least for us, you know, people have different lessons, but at least for us, it's clear that we are exploring the depths of flexibility, of acceptance, of, the deepest level of non-judgment, all of that. And I think it's been this interesting, which reflects to my own personal journey, which has been so much about stepping into my truth, stepping into my power, which I believe Jen is doing as well. And so it's like when we're stepping into our truth and our power, and then when we come upon an opportunity where, okay, we have truth and power, but so does the other person, you know, and two powers are meeting and sometimes colliding. how do we be powerful and understanding and accepting and kind, of course, and we're definitely navigating that.
Yeah, I mean, I just think breathing is so important, right? Just as Daniel will do, he'll just take a deep breath and it will relax me, and then I'll take a deep breath. And just reminding each other to breathe. We are all just trying to navigate this together. We are trying to navigate everything together. And there are a lot of really difficult situations to navigate. And so trying to remember to just keep an open mind and an open heart, I think it's so important, and to breathe.
The breath is, we will certainly agree on that.
The breath is the medicine. It's something that somebody said to me, sorry to interrupt you, but I was just thinking that might be a good thing to say. I always go back to that. The breath is the medicine.
For sure. And I use that language a lot. The breath is a powerful and potent medicine. Is, you know, I would say, regardless of your beliefs, of your spirituality, of your, you know, what you ascribe to in Western science or any form of evidence, it's going to show you that the breath is pretty damn important. And when we're triggered, when the emotional body is triggered and the nervous system is threatened, chances are we're not breathing, at least the way that we would like to be. And chances are we can use a little more breath.
Absolutely. A little bit more breath. Well, what should we talk about next? Now that we got through that.
Good question. What is on your heart or mind, if anything?
Feeling free. Feeling honest, feeling like I'm not attaching, or I'm not attached to too much stuff. I don't know. I feel like lately there have been some few things that I had to get through, some conversations with people that, you know, were difficult, and even just like our conversation, that we weren't expecting to have a difficult conversation, but we did. And, you know, being able to sit down and work through it, because then, you know, you're freed of those weights and it's not, you know, holding you back in any way, and you can move forward and you can really continue walking your path without, you know, feeling any weights. And, you know, there's a definite freedom attached to taking care of things that need to be taken care of, getting things behind you. Where am I going with this? I don't know. I've had a couple of difficult conversations the last couple of days, and was able to put some stuff behind me, and I feel like I'm moving forward, and yeah, just getting the stuff you don't want behind you.
Yeah, and it's interesting that that aspect of your recent experience didn't show up in our earlier start. No. And so we can explore that in any way if you'd like, but we certainly don't have to. And I'll just say that, you know, freedom is an essential aspect of my personal path. It's a very high value, maybe the highest. Getting free. Yeah. And we have different associations to what that word may mean. So again, words are tricky because we each may mean different things about it. People do a lot of things in the name of freedom that I personally wouldn't necessarily agree with. But my personal feeling about freedom and the frequency of freedom is really getting free and getting truly clearing, you know, as we'd spoken to earlier, the clearing out the closet of our mind, the closet of our circumstances, the closet of other people's expectations of us, all of these things that can keep us hidden, stuck, conditioned. And it's not a super clear-cut journey because, for me personally at least, the initial steps of getting free can feel confusing because we don't even necessarily know all of what we're getting free from. We don't even necessarily know all of what the conditioning is. We just know we don't necessarily like it. I never really liked, had a lot going on as a kid. So I really pushed against circumstances, institutions. I hated school. I hate pretty much any authority figure in my life. I did not have kind feelings toward. So that's how the freedom was manifesting for me initially. And then later on, it has become, much, much later on, it has become a recognition of not necessarily, freedom doesn't mean I have to necessarily fight against. For some people, that's aligned, is to join the fight against different things. And there might be things that I believe in. I just, for me personally, I'm not at war. And for me, getting free is more about just going toward the things that serve me. So it's, you know, freedom can mean different things for different people, but it's a super high value for me. And for me, it has been, yeah, learning about the things I didn't even know I was carrying and learning that I had permission, freedom within myself, because a lot of times we're talking about freedom. It seems like other people holding us down. And then we recognize our own mind is playing a role in that too. So it's giving myself permission to go toward the things I didn't think I could.
Yeah, I think right now I'm on a journey to really free my mind so that my soul can be more present. And in order to free my mind, one of the things I have to do is free myself from stuff like material possessions. I think that having so much stuff and so many things has been cluttering my mind. Too many things to choose from, too much stuff that I'm holding on to. So I was guided to get rid of a lot of my material possessions. And I was, you know, there were moments when I was going through, you know, my clothes and my things that I've had for years, stuff that I've been holding on to since I was a kid that were hard to get rid of. But I don't need them. I don't need to hold on to all of these things. And it was very cleansing for me to put all of, you know, these clothes and things that I wasn't using and take them to Goodwill. And I also knew that there was another side of it. Somebody else was going to be able to, you know, wear these clothes. I mean, they're probably like in fifth grade, you know, if they're my size, but, you know, there are other people that are able to benefit from the stuff that I was kind of holding on to for no particular reason. And that made me feel good. And it also freed up space in my head, not so much stuff to think about. And it was very freeing.
Clearing out and creating space for the new. That is certainly a very potent and important part of both of our journeys. And for me, which I started to say on our first attempt too, it's helpful for me to say that so it doesn't feel like I'm faking it. But, you know, for me, it was similar. There was a deep clearing and cleansing process, and it happened. And I kind of, my mind created this circumstance where I also felt I was being guided to leap very quickly. So I in retrospect, I still kind of feel I'm not sure I could have done it any other way. I think in the grander scheme of permission and freedom, there was probably a safer and easier, more graceful way to do it. But within a matter of months, I packed up everything I could into my little Honda Fit, sold or got rid of everything else, and set off on an adventure I had no idea where, and knowing no one. So that's how I chose to embark on it. And it's interesting. I guess in some ways I have a personality where I tend to jump into the deep end at times. And at times I have felt that's the only way I could get free is by really throwing myself into something. And in this circumstance, for most of my life, I had such a fear-based and heady sort of mind that to surrender completely to the intuitive guidance was the only way I felt I could do it. So I surrendered completely. I just left, broke a lease, did everything, and it was messy. And it brought up a lot of feelings and a lot of difficult conversations with family. And because there were aspects of that were very hard for my family to process. And that was really in service of getting free. And that's kind of the thing, at least for me, is when we really, really commit to freedom, it's not always super pleasant because part of freedom is getting free of other people's expectations of us. So whatever the wiring and conditioning is, there's a lot of there's a lot of guilt language in my family. My Jewish ancestry, you know, it's a stereotype, but there's truth to it too. There's a lot of certain kinds of expectations and what you're supposed to do. And even though my family on the surface is very loving, and not just on the surface, deeply within them, very loving, it's just that we all play out conditioning and come face to face with people we love making decisions that contradict the either conscious or unconscious expectations we have of them. And that's been a huge part of the freedom for me, is freedom in relationships. And I didn't in the past really know how to be free in relationships. So I would get reactive in ways that Jen has seen sometimes. I would, and it used to be a lot worse, to be perfectly blunt. I had a lot of anger. If I felt challenged, if I felt boxed in, someone was going to know it, and it could look ugly. And so I had to work through those feelings of what to me were feelings of persecution, feelings of being held against my will, which relates to some kinds of trauma. We all have that stuff. We're all part of this human collective, and it hasn't really been pretty for the human collective in generations past. So getting free can be a messy endeavor, but I will say I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Well, I'm proud of you for working through it because it's, you know what? It's really hard, right? It's hard to work through stuff. It's really hard. And it's good for us to tell people we're proud of them. And yeah, it's hard. And I was just thinking of what you were saying about freedom from other people's expectations of us. I mean, I'm always freaked out, or I was, about, you know, what people were thinking of me, what people expected from me. And my friend Jeff yesterday said to me that he was out hiking in somewhere around Portland, and he was telling somebody about my current path and about being a channel. And he's somebody who doesn't necessarily believe, and that's okay, right? We're all completely different, and that's okay. But he just told me about this conversation that he had with someone that, you know, he was obviously, you know, talking about me and my experience. And this other guy was saying to him, like, you know, no, yeah, definitely believe her. Like, she's, you know, she's gone through some stuff. And it was a good feeling. He wanted me to know that he was trying to be supportive of me without really understanding exactly what it is, but he was really open to it. And we had a really beautiful conversation about some of the things I had been going through and that he had been going through. And just reminding myself that just even you and I doing this together, doing this podcast together and starting to talk about things that are difficult, it's opening up other people too. And, you know, and I did it not thinking, okay, people are going to believe me, but it's cool to hear that
it's nice listening. That they do.
It's cool to hear that they're listening and that they're supportive and they're trying to be open to something that maybe they hadn't really considered.
And I feel that's the beauty of getting free, is we can be really pleasantly surprised, because when we truly commit to getting free, we do have to confront the possibility that people won't believe us, or they won't come around, or they won't, even people, even loved ones. And I will say that I am so grateful that, you know, whatever I had to work through with my family has led to immense growth, because my family of origin is committed to growth, and in their own way, you know, everyone's growth looks different. So, you know, my family members aren't necessarily talking about aliens and stuff, but we can come to a place of openness and support and again, and see things differently. But that's the beauty of the medicine, is that, you know, in our world today, it's very hard. It's very hard for us to disagree. It's hard within, you know, politics is the clear thorn that, you know, that we struggle with, and other things too, but it's also just the human condition. It's very hard for us to come back to love. And so, you know, we get free and we practice letting go of what other people will think, and then we can be truly grateful and surprised and be surprised by other people's openness, people who we didn't necessarily think might come around and who we think might just not be a part of our lives. And that happens too, but it's almost just the invitation for me to stay open to the possibility that whatever conversation I need to have, or I feel guided to have with someone, and whatever decision I'm guided to make, like, I don't necessarily know how it's going to play out. Maybe mm-hmm. they're going to react the way that I expect, but and maybe they do, but maybe in time they don't.
Yeah. I'm still on freedom. I'm trying to think of how to word this, but I guess freedom of worrying about money, and just kind of trusting that, yeah, the universe has my back. And if I continue to really be led by my heart, and I don't even really want to use the word success either. Like, that's where success lies. But I think it kind of does in a way, right? I think I've talked about this before, but yeah, being led by your heart and not necessarily a dollar sign, you know, and finding some freedom there, you know, and trusting that everything's going to work out exactly how it's supposed to. You know, if I follow my heart, I follow the signs and I walk my path. So not, you know, worrying about the money that's not really even in my bank account, you know, and just feeling like, because that stress and that weight is off of me, I'm not thinking about that, that I could actually do things with love and with an open heart and create with an open heart. Yes, there is definite freedom there for me.
And money is such a big one. It's such a big one because it's been a huge one for me. You know, we all have a relationship to money because money has been a fundamental way that we exist and navigate in the material world. So we can hate it, we can love it, we can say we don't care about it, whatever. And all those things can be true, but it's been a part of our existence on this planet. And I think that is potentially changing slowly, sometimes in some really messy ways, as there is some upheaval in institutions and the way that we use money and the way that we value it. But it does seem like there is a collective shift around that if we're open to it. And for me, and I know that this has been similar for you, Jen, you know, I was in a position where I had my degree, had my license, I had all this stuff. I was about to sort of get a raise, get more money in what I was doing as a psychologist. And I left sort of right at the point where it was going to happen, and left not just that opportunity for money, but all my clients. I had, you know, this caseload, you know, I didn't have a whole lot of ways of how I was going to be supported. So just navigating that sense of trust, you know, money is one of the greatest teacher, relationships too, but money is one of the greatest teachers of how we get free and come into trust and surrender, because it is so connected to use some kind of like chakra language, you know, the root chakra, that sense of survival conditioning. Money is so connected to how we survive, or how we have previously had to survive. And it's and for that reason, it's connected to our sense of stability and our fear. And so for us, unlike other species or animals on this planet, money is this paper is directly connected to our sense of survival. And because of that programming, it is a great teacher to see how we can get free of that attachment, that dependency, that fear conditioning and fear programming, and start to, be flexible and question what success means to us. And is it the way we see it on TV or in movies, or and how celebrities live, or how our parents chose to use it? We get to redefine what success and what abundance looks like to us, because abundance isn't necessarily just about the paper. Abundance can be all kinds of things. You know, Bashar would talk about, you know, signs and synchronicities. I forget some of the other things, but I'll say, you know, relationships. Like, there's so many ways we can be supported and feel free and abundant. And that's been a huge lesson for me.
Yeah. That made me think of something I was thinking about the other day, which was being surrounded by love is true luxury. And I've been thinking about that a lot. And love is a currency. You know, I think so is kindness. And I think a lot of us, you know, see only, you know, a dollar sign when we think of, you know, currency. It's not. I mean, I really believe like the more love and kindness you put out, the more you receive. And so that's why I'm sort of detaching myself from this idea of having to have, you know, X amount of dollars in my bank account, because I really feel that love and kindness as a currency holds a huge weight.
I totally agree. You know, money, this paper, but now this digital form of it, which had already sort of loosened some of our attachments to what it is only one form of currency. And that's sort of literal in the sense of now there's cryptocurrency, there's other forms of literal financial currency, but on a deeper level, it's a source of energy. You know, a $1 billion is a powerful source of energy. And yet, like you said, emotions are a powerful source of energy. Kindness, love, you know, higher frequencies, as well as lower ones. They're powerful forms of currency. So we have that power, and oftentimes we are conditioned to believe that if we don't have that one source of currency, that source of energetic power, that money, that we're powerless. And yet, as human beings, we have immense, infinite sources of other currency and power, which are frankly more important, because like the most cliche thing that people say is you can't take it with you. But from my perspective, what you do carry with you are these other states of being, the love, the bliss, potentially the shame, you know, the things that we're working through. Those we may carry some of that. You know, we may also be able to get free of them in the human form once we leave the human form, but those are infinite, and those exist outside of the material. So that can be and has been a powerful recognition that even, and because I will say very clearly, like, I choose abundance. Like, I do choose to, I desire to have lots of money. I don't have any ill feelings about it, because that's something I was working through in the past, was almost rejecting money. But it's just like, it's not so different from rejecting an ex-lover or partner. Like, you're still in relationship to them. You're having all these negative feelings about them. Same thing with money. Like, I was sort of pushing it away, and that was actually keeping me stuck. But if we can acknowledge, like, yeah, money can be great. It can be, it's a tool. It's just a tool, but it can be great. And I choose to have lots of it and be able to do, have the freedom to do anything. Bashar would also say true abundance is being able to do whatever you want when you want to do it. That's what we really want money for. We just want money for the freedom to do what we want when we want. And that's what I choose to move toward and embrace. And yet the way to do it was to not, the way the universe invited me to do it was to not have all the money available to me and to have to work through, or to be invited to work through, you know, my source of power, my sense of worthiness, my service, finding ways to be of service when I didn't have much of it. Because if I simply got all the money, if I became super successful and abundant in that way, right off the bat, you know, it's likely that my ego would have taken over. I would not have been in a sturdy enough position, a high enough frequency to handle that amount of power that would have been just coming to me. That amount of energetic power would have been coming to, would have been hitting me in all the woundedness I had, you know, hitting all the unhealed parts of me. And I would have been playing that out. I probably would have lost it all, quite frankly. There was a period where I was like getting scammed all the time, and I was making risky investments. So I was sort of like learning, like, this is not the path of integrity for you. This is not how you use your intuitive knowing. So I was really invited to see that, like, money can come, but I needed to grow. I needed to be able to match its power without it first before I could simply welcome it all into my life.
Yeah. Just thinking about how I want to respond to this. Thinking about money, I don't think it's wrong to you know, be rewarded and, you know, have money. I just feel like there is such a, you know, two sides. where people are very rich and people are very poor. And I have a really hard time seeing those two extremes. And I don't know, I wish there could be some sort of balance. And I hope that someday there is. And whatever I have, I want to share. And that's sort of a big part of who I am and who I've always been. I share what I have, even if I don't have much, even if I have $100 in my bank account, I'm still gonna, you know, leave people a good tip and do everything that I can and literally give everything that I have. Because I think so much about having money is also kind of about sharing and helping other people out and helping other people be in a place where they too can safely be successful and have a career and, you know, supporting that. And not just holding on and, you know, hoarding on to so much money, because yeah, you can't take it with you. And there are so many, you know, great charities and organizations that, you know, people can donate to so that we can make this, you know, world better now while we're here. Because that's, we can't take that with us. But yes, you can take love with you and kindness. And that's something that I've been learning about with you, just talking to spirits who have, you know, left this realm and gone to another, and they're trying to drop, you know, some of the earthly feelings that they've had. And I don't know if I said that correctly, but, you know, and trying to really feel love. And that's how I think you move on energetically throughout the other realms. Everything seems to be attached to love. The lightness I feel is attached to love. So yeah, I like this idea. Love and kindness is a currency, and putting my focus there.
It can certainly be a valuable medicine and an empowering medicine to place our focus on the currencies we have within us that are infinite. And I actually feel that there's a perspective we can hold that a financial abundance can be infinite too, that there can be an infinite amount of resources that can flow through us when our vibrational frequency is aligned with it. But without that, you know, if our circumstances are such that we don't have it, there are other sources we can turn to cultivate and to share. That no one is without the opportunity to share, because we all have something to give. So, where do we go from here, Jen?
Well, the last piece for me, when it comes to material possessions, my artwork. And my artwork means a whole lot to me. And I have had a really hard time throughout my life just being able to let go of it. And I've decided it's time. It's time to free myself of these weights. I think that they should be enjoyed, and I'm hoarding them and holding on to them. And so I am going to start selling them, but I've decided that I am going to donate all of the money, and I won't say where it's going, but to a cause that I believe in. And I'm being guided to do that. I'm being guided to not keep the money for myself. And I'm ready to do it. I'm ready to release it. So I'm going to come up with a little plan over the next couple of weeks and sort of talk about my art a little bit more. And maybe that's where I'll do some of my own recordings, just talking about each piece, and then start releasing them, because they're weights and they don't have to be. They can add lightness in other places. So I'm excited to do this.
It's beautiful. And it's interesting that the things we love dearly, the things that have so much meaning to us, and this is popular in the Buddhist tradition, is they can become weights. They can become attachments. That includes people, you know, all people transition. So, you know, eventually we lose them. And things, you know, things don't stay either. And so things can be so meaningful and bring us so much joy and can be the result of our own creation and our own. And yet there can be such a valuable medicine in coming to terms with the guidance to part ways and if it can serve others and serve us in a different way. Whatever the result of that clearing process is, can be so beautiful, challenging, and messy, and but can also provide opportunity for something new.
Yeah, I think that's what this is about. It's making room for something new, and I'm ready. And I think just saying it has already really released me. I feel free. Yay.
Yeah, in a way you've already done it, like when
you've
spoken it into existence and sort mm-hmm. of come to terms with that you are going to take these action steps, and it does always start inside. It always starts with even just considering the possibility of getting free of something, and then once you're entertaining that in your imagination, in your mind, suddenly we can get free enough in the mind and in the body to be like, oh, I'm doing this. Oh, I'm definitely right. doing this.
Yeah.
And it provides us access to those feelings already, those feelings of freedom.
Yeah, I don't need this attachment. And I know this is taking me closer to love, you know, or to light or whatever it is, to this energetic source that really seems to be guiding me right now. And I trust it. And that's the big part. It's about believing. I believe this is what I should be doing. And I trust.
There you go. Trust, faith, freedom.
Yes.
Pretty important values on my path. And I would say for most of us, stepping into this process of whatever we want to call it, awakening, ascension, surrender, recognizing that there may be something more than the material world, and being willing to find out.
I feel like this might be a good place to wrap it up. What do you think? Short and sweet?
Feels that way to me. So this has been a roller coaster of a recording session, some of which will be published, some of which will be left for Jen and I. And but all in service of growth and freedom
yes.
and trust and safety and light.
Thank you, Daniel. Thank you for working through this with me.
Thank you, Jen.
Thank you.
I'm honored to do so.
Thank you.
So until our next adventure. Thanks for tuning in. If you would like to connect, please follow the podcast on Instagram at @DavidBowies_ghost or follow us individually at @JenKesslerArt and at @DrDaniel_Atkins.
David Bowie's Ghost looks forward to visiting with you again.